Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with conductor Herbert Blumstead when he was in town conducting the Philadelphia Orchestra in a program that included music by Brahms and Mozart. After we talked about that music, we started talking about music itself. What do you think music's relationship is to the rest of life?
Well, music, I think, is, because I'm a musician, of course, is the best expression of all facets of life. The music is really about our life in a sort of abstract way. Music would not exist if we didn't have a need to express our fears and our desires, our sadness, our love. Music, I think this is a saying by Victor Hugo, music express what words cannot tell and which still has to be said. Music has so many similarities with our life. It has a beginning, it has an end, after half an hour, or 1 hour, or even after 3 minutes. It has a beginning, has an end, has a start, has a climax, and has an ending. It's also, even that is symbolized. A painting, you know, is just something you hang on the wall. It has no time dimensions. It has other wonderful dimensions that music does not have, but it has no time dimensions. Here we experience something during a concert or during one piece that we can relate to in our life. Extreme sadness, despair, comfort, trust, hope, love and peace, you know, that can be expressed with music, sometimes even at the same time. Even the same bar, there can be many moods, you know. Beginning of the bar ends in trust and happiness, the end of it ends in a big question mark. And in the accompanying voices, there can be other moods. You know, see, it makes the music such a rich emotional and intelligent experience. You know, the more you hear, the more you can experience. If you're not so well trained in listening to music, that's a little bit of a disadvantage, but you have to start somewhere. And you have a big experience even if you know nothing about what the music is about. You find out yourself. You listen once, twice, and every time you'll experience more. That's a wonderful thing with music, that it can be enjoyed on so many levels. And you don't have to know the language at all, you know. Speak to Chinese and Indian, and to everyone, to Eskimos and to Hottentots. everybody can hear it. You just open it. But you have to have a chance to listen to it and not spoil your chances by this loudness of impressions that you get in the modern urban life.
You've had music as part of your life, your whole life. What made you want to be a conductor? Was there a particular experience or person or music?
Yes and no. When I was a violinist, and I loved my violin. I practiced the violin 4 hours a day when I was in school. My lessons at school came and when I was finished with my violin. I loved the violin. And then I discovered the organs, and I had two loves, the organ music of Bach. You know, this was my Bible. And when I was in my teens, I didn't dream of becoming a conductor, even if I heard a symphony concert 2 times a week. My first love was string quartet. You know, I'd be leading with string quartet to play this marvelous quartet by Haydn and Mozart and Beethoven and Brahms and so on. And I could even dream of being a cantor in the church, you know, performing the Bach cantata every Sunday. That would be wonderful. Only when I was at the conservatory in Stockholm, I had to study also choral conducting for half a semester. I discovered vocal music, that was even so beautiful as my violin music. Bach motet was fantastic music. And then there was a death in the royal family, and the conservatory chorus was asked to perform 2 movements of the Brahms Requiem in the church in 2-3 days. And we happened to be working on that with the chorus. And of course, we worked together with our teacher, who was a marvelous choral conductor, but he asked me to conduct. He thought perhaps I had some talent. And that, I think, was a very important experience for me, to stand before people who could read music, you know, all of them. They were all professionals, even they were students, they were professionals. Read music like you read a novel. Some of them were good singers, others were not so good singers, but they were all musicians. That gave me a great love for also being immersed, you know, within a big group of musicians. I had a very wonderful experience when I was a child, also in my vacation in the woods in Sweden. My grandparents had a little radio. This was 1935, you know, little box. And I heard every Sunday morning there was a symphony concert from Deutschlandsender in Berlin. And we also listened to that 1 hour, because we loved this music. And once they played a piece that I had played on the piano. By Mozart. It was relatively easy to play on the piano. I was not a pianist, but the theme was easy, I could play. And here it was for orchestra. And I thought it was sounds very wonderful. And when they were finished, after half an hour, they told me, "You heard the Mozart variations by Max Reger, played by the Dresden, Sächsische Staatskapelle Dresden, under the lead conductorship of Karl Böhm." Oh, and that was the most beautiful I ever heard. I mean, I know our local orchestra was very good and our hall was fantastic, wonderful acoustic, but this was something out of the usual. So I dreamt of that sound. I did not dream of that I would like to stand in front of that orchestra, but it happened, you know, 30 years later, I was the music director of that orchestra. So even without some special dreams, you know, sometimes most unusual things, unexpected things happen.
That's a wonderful story. What do you love most about conducting today?
Being together with great artists and making music with them. I'll still love to play the violin and play the organ, but here I am together with 100 people, you know, who all are great artists, who sacrificed most of things in life in order to be able to play as well as possible one little instrument or a big instrument like the double bass or like the timpani drum. You know. But they are all experts, and they have sacrificed lots, you know, like I have. We have to learn to sacrifice in many things in life. It's not possible to have everything, and one should not have everything. You just get spoiled. You have to concentrate on a few things and then do as much as possible with those. And these people are with me on stage. I love them and I respect them. I cannot play one single instrument as well as they can. So they are, in many ways, they are my superiors. I respect them, and I think they respect me, because I can give them something that they cannot do. So the most happy situation, and to look into their eyes and see how they enjoy the music they are playing, and play so with, as it was one spirit, you know, for a whole evening. It's an incredible experience of joy and happiness.
Thank you so much, Maestro Herbert Blumstead. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.